Let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to our key passage for this year, and that's in the book of James, James chapter 5. We've got a good amount of scripture to cover this morning, and so we're going to dive right in. We're fairly familiar with some of these verses here that we've been looking at, and so we're going to just touch on those and then head over to the book of Daniel here this morning, all right? So we continue to talk about prayer. And this morning, we are particularly going to be talking about how prayer is spiritual warfare. Prayer is spiritual warfare. We have James chapter 5. We'll begin with verse number 16. James 5. Verse 16, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. We'll pause in our reading there. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word, these timeless truths that you give to us by the Holy Spirit of God, using holy men of God to pen the very words of the living God. Father, thank you for this. Thank you that we can hold these 66 books of the complete Holy Bible in our hands. Lord, we are thankful for the inspiration of Scripture. Lord, we're thankful for the promises it contains and the truths it has for us. And I pray that you'd help us to grow in this area of prayer. Father, we need you. We really, absolutely do. In every way, we need you. This ministry, your church here, this local church needs you. Father, this is your work. We are your servants. Your will is our command. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be men and women of courage, young people of faith and obedience. Strengthen your work. Father, for each one who is tuning in, even online, even this morning, thank you, Lord, for them. And I pray that you'd encourage each one in their respective places, their individual challenges, their walk with you. And Lord, if there be any who don't know Christ, even a youth whose parents are saved, or a spouse who doesn't really know Christ has concerns about this, I pray that they would see that Jesus is their answer, that faith alone in Christ alone is the way of salvation. And I pray that today would even be the day that they come to Christ. Lord, that is your will. And we are thankful to serve you in this time and this day. In Jesus' name, amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effective is the strong petition of one who is righteous. It accomplishes great things. Yes, God works in response to prayer. We are going to talk here about how prayer is spiritual warfare. In the text here, we are given the illustration of a man who was like us. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, Elijah. Elijah, the man of God, a prophet of God, a servant of God. Oh, but he was a sinner who needed the Savior. Yes, he was. He is a man like us, a person like us. And yet he prayed and he sought the Lord. He was burdened for his nation. There was spiritual warfare that happened as Elijah prayed. And for 3.5 years, God interrupted the normal course of nature, and he stopped it from raining. Why? Because there was a spiritual battle. There were a people of Israel who had turned from God, who had neglected God and had embraced idols even of Baal. And you know what? God saw fit to intervene in answer to one man's prayer. This whole thing culminated on Mount Carmel, where there was a great standoff between the 450 prophets of Baal and the one prophet of Jehovah. And Elijah stood true, stood strong, and God got the victory that day. And that day concluded not only with the 450 prophets of Baal being destroyed and many people exclaiming on that mount, "The Lord, Jehovah, he is the God." But that day also concluded with a torrential downpour, a great rain after 3.5 years of absolute drought, all because one man prayed. It's very amazing how God works through prayer. We're going to go over to the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. We're going to see another man praying and how God worked. Daniel, chapter 9. I have several verses that I would like to read just to give you a bit of a background to what's going on here. Daniel, let's start off with just a little bit of introduction to set the stage here. This is about 530 years before Jesus would come to this earth. About 530 years before Jesus would come to this earth. Here's Daniel. Daniel has been taken as a captive, as a youth, by Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of Babylon. He's been ripped from his family, and for the last 70 years or so, he's been in Babylon. He's been given opportunities of service in many different ways, places of influence that he has had, and he has carried out a godly testimony in every situation he's been given. Daniel is now an old man. He's in his upper 80s. Upper 80s. He's an old man. He's still serving in the government, though. He's serving under Darius the Mede. He is the first of three presidents. At the beginning of chapter 9, it is very possible that the lion's den incident has not yet happened. Think about that. The lion's den incident back in chapter 6 has not yet, or possibly has not yet happened. For as we break into the scripture here in chapter 9, we find that it is the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel, here in the first year of Darius the Mede, Darius was the one who came in and defeated Belshazzar back over in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 30, it says, "In that night," after the writing was on the wall, "in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." And of course, Darius pleased him in verse 1 of chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. We see here God working. Daniel here in this realm of the Chaldeans, of the Medes and the Persians, then it would become. He is one of three presidents. He's the first of three presidents. He's has a place of great influence, and he's burdened. Daniel is burdened. We notice in this passage here of chapter 9 that he's seeking for the forgiveness of God and the restoration of his people Israel. Notice what it says here, beginning now in verse 3. Well, I'll say a comment about verse 2. Daniel tells us here, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he reveals to us that he finally has come to understand the 70 years of desolation that the prophet Jeremiah prophesied about the people of God. And Daniel realizes that he's lived through it, and that God prophesied of it. And his wheels are turning in his head, and he's thinking, wow, this is amazing. And now it's time for restoration. These years are over, the years of judgment. Oh, and his heart is moved and stirred, and he says in verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He is humbling himself before God. He is refraining from food. He is dressing in mourning attire. And he is crying out to God. Verse 4, he says, and I prayed. I prayed unto the Lord my God. I prayed unto Jehovah my God, and made my confession. And said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled. This, my friends, is Daniel's prayer. Even, he continues in the middle of verse 5, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in the name of our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, that they have trespassed against thee. He's accounting how God brought in destruction. He dispersed the people. The people of Israel, the people of Judah, they went into captivity. They were scattered abroad, and Daniel in particular and a number of others were taken captive into Babylon. Verse 8, he continues praying. He's interceding for his people. His heart is heavy for God to intervene and restore his people. And he says in verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. We have sinned against thee. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. God's mercy and God's forgiveness, even for those who have rebelled. Wow, what a God we have. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Wow. The prayer doesn't stop here. He is recounting and remembering how Jerusalem is in shambles. It's broken down. It's burned with fire. The people of Israel are scattered around the nations, and they're in bondage. The temple of God in Jerusalem is a pile of rubble. Solomon's temple, the one that David had aspired to build and was restrained of God to do, and he collected the materials, and his son Solomon, with his whole heart, built the temple to God. And at that time, At that time, God had said to Solomon in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, he says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." You see, this was 400 years earlier from where Daniel is right now. 400 years earlier, God had said, "If my people, Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I have to wonder if Daniel didn't know those words quite well and beseeched the Lord to have mercy on his people, on his nation, even as Solomon's temple lay in waste. Let's continue reading in his prayer, verse 15. We will start at now. Verse 15 of chapter 9, "And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies." Daniel says, it's not because we're so good. It's not because we're so righteous. We've sinned. You are righteous. We cast ourselves at your mercy. Verse 19, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning," he's speaking of a previous chapter of which he accounted when Gabriel came to him, the great angel of God. And he says here again, "I was praying, I was confessing the sin of my people, I was supplicating before God." And he says, "Gabriel, even Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I'm come forth to give you wisdom, Daniel." Verse 23, "At the beginning of thy supplications," Gabriel is talking and says, "at the beginning of thy supplications, Daniel, when you began to pray, Daniel, when you were starting to pray, the commandment came forth. I was commissioned. God looked over at me and he said, Gabriel, fly swiftly. Daniel's praying. The commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." Daniel, I just want you to know, you are loved. Heaven has heard your prayer. When you started praying, at the beginning of your supplication, the command came for me to come. And here I am. Here I am. Therefore, last part of verse 3, 2023, "Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." And oh, he's given a great revelation. We don't have time to go into that. It's great. I've touched on it in my study through Daniel on Wednesday nights, which are available on the recordings on YouTube there. But he received some great prophecies about end times. Now we're going to conclude that segment of Daniel's prayer, and we're going to move to chapter 10, which actually moves a number of years down the road, several years, not a huge amount. I don't know, maybe 4 years or so. Daniel's gotten 4 years older. It's a new king, a different king. It's Cyrus. And it says it's in his third year. It's his third year, king of Persia. A thing was revealed unto Daniel, we're in chapter 10, verse 1, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, for time's sake, I just want you to understand that, you know, this is a different occasion now, but Daniel's again praying. And the Bible tells us he was fasting for 3 weeks. Now, the Bible says it's in the third year of Cyrus. If you were to go to the first chapter of Ezra, you would find that King Cyrus, in his first year, commissioned the Jews to go back to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed. That has been happening. And at this point, Daniel is concerned. Maybe things weren't going as planned. Maybe not many Jews were interested in returning. I mean, there was definitely a great segment that went back, but there was a slowness, and the restoration of the city was not happening. The temple was not making much progress, and there was still a lot of disheartening things happening. Daniel says here in verse 2, I was mourning 3 full weeks. He was fasting and praying and seeking God. It says here in verse 4, and in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. I believe it's the same as the Tigris. It's a river that runs through the heart of ancient Babylon. Daniel was fasting 3 weeks and praying. And to be honest, not a lot happened for 3 weeks. Daniel was seeking God in a season of prayer. Again, he's burdened, no doubt, for his people, for Israel, for his nation. He's seeking the Lord through prayer and fasting. And God once again pulls back the curtain, and we can see behind the scenes of prayer. In chapter 9, we saw God send Gabriel in response to Daniel's prayer. In chapter 10, the angel that comes is not specifically named, but I think it's probably Gabriel again. There are many angels. It sure could have been a different messenger sent by God. But in response to Daniel's prayer, this angelic messenger comes. In verse 10, we will pick it up. Chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 10, it says, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Daniel, heaven loves you. God loves you. And I'll tell you what, that's the truth for each one of us, each one of his children. We are greatly beloved, greatly beloved. And this is one of the first words this angelic messenger brings to Daniel. And he says, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Once again, we see a similar thing reiterated here in this chapter 10. Daniel was praying, he was fasting, he was seeking God. And a response comes. A response comes, and this angel says, from the first day that you started praying and seeking God, I was sent. And I am come for thy words. Verse 13, notice this. Notice what it says. It says, but the prince... A prince would be a captain or a general or something of that, a chief. But The chief, let's just use that word, but the chief of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Here's an angel, probably Gabriel. And he says, Daniel, I'm come. When you started praying 3 weeks ago, I was sent. But the chief, the general of the kingdom of Persia. Now, I believe this is one of the principalities and powers in dark places. I don't think this was the king physically on a throne or something like that. This is talking about, I believe, a spiritual, a fallen angel, a corrupt spirit being was hindering this angel from coming. There was battle behind the scenes. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. I've been withstood 21 days, 3 weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I had to call for backup. The kingdom of darkness was so interrupting the message I'm bringing to you that I had to call for backup. Michael, a great angel, came and I am here. I am here for thy words. He came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And once again, Daniel receives an amazing, detailed description of end time events. Remember, at the beginning of the introduction this morning, I said that it's about 530 years before Christ comes. There's a good bit of what Daniel receives here in chapter 10, 11, and 12. There's a good bit of that has to do with before Christ comes, before Christ came. Detail about what would happen in those last days. But it also has much detail that is still not fulfilled of the last days yet to come before Jesus returns to rule and reign in the millennium. It talks to us in this passage about the Antichrist. I can show you a couple of verses there in what Daniel received here in this prophecy. Chapter 11, please notice verse number 36 and 37. Daniel 11, verse 36, it says, and the king shall do according to his will. I believe this is a description of none other than the Antichrist who one day will come. Could be on the earth at this time. But one day will be revealed, and it says about him, the king shall do according to his will. He'll be very self-willed. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Antichrist in the tribulation period to come will demand the allegiance of the world. He'll exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of God. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished or the tribulation is completed. For that is determined shall be done. Notice that. For that is determined shall be done. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. And those who will not take his mark will die. That's the Antichrist in the tribulation period yet to come. End time things. There's a lot more shared here. But one other thing I'd like to briefly note, and that's in chapter 12 here. I'll pick it up in verse number 9. Chapter 12, and he said, go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed. Till when? Till the time of the end. Many shall be purified. Look at this scripture. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. Many will be saved, washed of their sins, and tested. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, this speaks of the midpoint of the tribulation period yet to come. It says, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Notice verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. These words have not yet been fulfilled. Daniel was praying and seeking God. God, on several different occasions, saw fit to reveal things about the future through his servant Daniel. A man prayed. We see in Daniel's praying there was a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle going on behind the scenes. We saw this particularly identified in chapter 10. Spiritual warfare happening. Oh, my friend, when you engage in prayer, sometimes things get worse. Sometimes things get worse. I am not certain of the timing of when the lion's den situation happened. But one thing I know, the lion's den situation happened to Daniel because he was praying. Chapter 6 of Daniel records it in the first year of Darius, or around that time in the reign there of Darius the Mede. Daniel had been praying as he always had, three times a day with his window open towards Jerusalem. Oh God, work through your people. Oh God, restore. Oh God, cleanse us of our sin. Oh God, you know what he was praying. We read so much of his prayer in chapter 9. And you know what? Those wicked men in that realm there of the Chaldeans, of the Medes, I should say, the Medes and Persians, they caught Daniel. They weaponized the legal system against him. And they got him thrown in the lion's den because he was praying. I'll tell you what. Prayer is spiritual warfare. Sometimes things get worse before they get better. Daniel was down there in that den, and I'm guessing that he was praying. Well, I don't have to guess that. I think the Bible says he was. But you know what? God shut the lion's mouths, and God got the victory because one man kept praying. Daniel kept praying. He kept on opening his window toward Jerusalem. Even though the laws had been made, although falsely rammed through, that he or anybody who asked a petition for 30 days would be thrown in the lion's den, and Daniel just kept on doing what he knew was right to do. And God ultimately honored that, even though things got worse, before they got better. Oh, friend, I have just about finished the introduction to my message, but our time is up. I didn't get to one single point I had, but I felt that the situation with Daniel is worthy of our examination to see what's going on behind the scenes a bit as one man was seeking God. Let's be men and women of prayer. Yes, prayer is spiritual warfare, and faith is the victory.